It speaks of the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Verse 22 and 23. Therefore, as we have in the Lord Jesus Christ the fullness of God, so we have in His many brethren, His body, the very fullness of Christ. The manner in which God manifested His fullness in the Lord Jesus is in the same manner in which the Lord Jesus manifests His fullness in the church, which is His body. This fullness was not manifested in the Lord Jesus by virtue of His inherent deity, but rather in the virtue of the fact that He emptied Himself and took a bondsman's form and was found in fashion as a man. And then in subjecting Himself to even greater humiliation and walking in the pathway of total obedience unto the will of the Father. Likewise, the fullness that is being manifest in the church, which is His body, is not in virtue a new birth and a sudden rapture. Rather, it is to be in growing up into Christ, abiding in Him, and the Word abiding in us, changing, transforming, renewing, purifying, and cleansing this temple, as we too walk in the pathway of total obedience unto the will of the Father. Christ must go back to the Father, that as one who had glorified the Father's name and revealed the Father through His obedience and faithfulness as a Son, so now, from His exalted throne in heaven, He might glorify His name in His many brethren, that He, with them and not apart from them, might bring forth an even greater fullness of glory. This He accomplishes by bringing forth the perfection of the risen, glorified Lord throughout the members of the church, which is His body. For God has given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:22. That same old theological block that hindered the Jews of Christ's day is hindering God's people today. Their minds were made up. As a teacher, they would acknowledge Him. As prophet from Galilee, they would readily accept. Even as King of Israel, they were ready and anxious to receive Him. Strange that so many are teaching that they refuse to have Him as their King. They actually came by force on one occasion to make Him King, or their King. There was really no problem in receiving Him as teacher, prophet, king, healer, or miracle worker. It was in making Himself the one with the Father that they took such great exception. Not that He declared Himself to be the Father, but rather He declared Himself to be the expression of the Father, the servant of the Father, the one in whom the Father liveth, or lived, in whom He worked, whose words He spoke, whose mouthpiece He was, and whose works He performed. The Son of God was the living temple in whom God the Father dwelt. He was not the Son of Man as to his humanity, and Son of God as to his deity. He was both Son of Man and Son of God as to his humanity. That holy thing that was born of Mary was at the same time Son of Man and Son of God. For God was the Father of the human nature, as Mary was the mother. Luke 1:35. This Son of Man, Son of God, was perfect man in every sense of the word. In other words, the Son of God was God made weak, God made poor, God emptied out, God the ruler of the universe condescending to become a bond slave among men. Jesus testified, I can of my own self do nothing. Yet in union with the Father, he could do anything. When the truth is brought forth concerning our union with Christ, some seem to get the notion that we are seeking equality with Christ. But that's the exact opposite of the is the truth. For we must become utterly weak, that he might be all glorious in power. Helpless in ourselves, that he might be the all-sufficient one. The fact that we are to live the life of another. We are to manifest the fullness of Christ, just as the Lord Jesus manifested the fullness of God. When he was here, he did nothing, absolutely nothing, independently of the Father as God. The Son working in contradiction to God the Father, never once is he called God the Son. Everything he did and everything he said was in utter and complete obedience to the Father. As the Father dwelt in him and worked through him, so with Christ's body, his many-membered body. We must come to that place where we do nothing in contradiction to the Son, as separate from him. We must come to that place where it is the living Christ living in us, speaking through us, thinking through us, the risen and glorified Lord pouring into our hearts by the Spirit all the perfection of his glorified humanity. This we receive in virtue of the Spirit abiding within, and our complete obedience and submission unto the will of God. Those of you who are ready to release yourself to a higher level, I want you to repeat after me. What you have prepared me for, Lord. Your perfect life. Being a part of my future. I'm asking you tonight to pour your life into my heart. Your perfect life into the confused, mixed up mind and heart. Even the unbelief I give to you. Because that's what you made me for. You made me to become an intricate part of a body of believers. Not to work independently, but to work corporately. So that your love, your grace, your favor, your manifested healings will radiate out of me, touching every heart that I touch or give of myself to them. We are not circumcised by man. Like the old covenant. But I'm thanking you to circumcise me by your spirit. Cut away my flesh. Cut away my selfish patterns. My behavior is not a problem to you, Father. My repentance is going to be the result of realizing you've forgiven me of every failure and every shortcoming. Jesus is the Savior of my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. The search is over. He is Lord. And he can manifest through me at any time, at any place, to give glory to our Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I thank you for your plan. As it continues to unfold in my life, I give you all the glory. And don't stop if I complain tomorrow. I'm in my right mind right now. I know what I'm doing right now. I'm trusting you to form and conform my whole life in the image and likeness of my Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.